wanting to be free, walking in the streets today.
This I know,
he's a peaceful warrior, speaking only the truth, yet cut down by ruthless lies.
Free Mark Emery, and free ourselves. Free Mark Emery, and free ourselves.
Word up. Word of Mouth Wednesday. In the background there, you're hearing the Grand Luminosity song, Free Mark Emery. And that's because right now we got on the phone returning to the Word of Mouth Wednesday tonight to talk with us about what's the latest that's been going on with his case and legal situation and, you know, the politics in Canada, as well as promoting the Freedom Festival, which is taking place this Saturday at Queen's Park North. And it's an honor to welcome to the Word of Mouth Wednesday Mark Emery.
Hello, it's great to be there, and I will be there in just a few days.
Awesome, awesome. And, you know, I guess what everyone wants to know is what's your current situation legally? I know that there's the big extradition to the U.S. Threats and things going on. What's going on currently?
Well, I've been out on bail for a number of months now. Originally, when I turned myself in September, I thought I would be extradited to the United States within 28 days. But what happened is our lawyer got very sick. He wasn't able to make the final submission of documents to the Justice Minister, Rob Nicholson, who has to make a decision about my extradition. And so I was let out on bail, waiting for the inevitable, you know, getting sent south to the U.S. But he's been able to do that, Rob Nicholson, since January 8th, and it's almost 5 months now. And apparently he has a deadline of May 10th to order me extradited or order me not extradited. He can choose either one. And because he's received tens of thousands of calls and petitions and letters, handwritten letters, I believe that's why I'm still here, because tens of thousands of Canadians have told him not to do it. And it looks like we might have an election in as soon as 2 weeks. And oddly enough, in 2 weeks is when he's scheduled to announce whether he's extraditing me or not. So I think when the Conservatives are at their all-time low of 29%, and an election is imminent, I doubt they're going to further aggravate people to show up to vote by extraditing me. So I'm very optimistic that with all the combined pressure that Canadians have put on this government in regards to my extradition, that I will not be being sent away anytime soon, as long as people keep up the pressure. And of course, if they go to noextradition.net or cannabisculture.com, you'll see a free Mark Emery logo, and people are encouraged to click on that, and it'll give them all the contact numbers for contacting the Ministry of Justice's office and urging them not to extradite me.
Great, yeah, and I've been trying to keep up with this situation. You know, during the fall, I was actually listening to on cannabisculture.com. I found the links to the prison podcasts, which I had been listening to in October and November. Which you can find cannabisculture.com.
And some of my best work I did in jail, too. I often, because you get the clarity of mind in jail, because you're allowed, you know, you can think. And a lot of people in jail, they're not thinking a lot. They're just trying to kill time. But when I'm there, I read a lot, I write a lot, and I'm able to focus on thoughts. In the real world, you're always reacting to things. You know, phone calls ring, people want your attention. Things have to be done. So you don't get a chance to put together quality thoughts. So my prison podcasts are some of the best work I've ever done, particularly number 5, which is the one that reviews Stephen Harper and the Conservatives. And it predicts everything that's happening now, because I did some really great research in jail. And when I found out how much all these tough-on-crime bills were going to cost the Canadian public, I concluded that it was going to cost them an additional $8 to $10 billion every year with the programs and plans the Conservatives have in mind to lock so many more people up for marijuana and drug abuse. So number 5 is a good one. Number 6, which was my Remembrance Day piece, was an awesome, brilliantly written piece. I mean, and normally, you know, I don't really say that about too many pieces. I've written maybe like 5 or 6 great things in my lifetime. But I did some good work there that I encourage people to go to the Prison Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, and there's 9 of them. And number 5, 6, 8, and 9 are really excellent.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely can get a lot of information from those, you know, and I really got the sense of the bad conditions in the jails, and then the sense that you were being moved around I guess,
well, I was moved around a lot at the beginning, but that's something you end up trying to get used to, because prison is such an awkward experience for a normal person. When I say normal person, most of the people in jail are people who've been there before, and they're also people that you would anticipate were going to end up in there inevitably. Most of the people I meet in jail don't have a father of any note. They don't have good parents. They didn't have good parents. They really had a chaotic childhood. So I'm one of the few people that end up in jail who have a lot of love in their life and people who care about them and what have you. So for someone who's grown up with a lot of love in a normal environment, being in maximum security for 2 months is a very difficult and onerous thing. You never go outside. You see the set. You're locked in your cell 18 to 20 hours a day. It's a very tiny cell.
And this was in the U.S.?
Steel. But, you know, as long as you're like me and you can read and you can write, then the time is not terribly spent.
Mm-hmm. And this was a U.S. jail?
No, this is a Canadian jail.
Oh, okay.
A pretrial center is maximum security.
Oh.
It's more restrictive than actually when you're sentenced.
Wow.
And you go to, say, a minimum security or medium security. Hopefully in the United States, after I wend my way through their system, if I get sent there, I'll end up in a minimum security prison where I perhaps can work on a garden or get to go outside, which I never saw in the 60 days I was in jail in North Fraser pretrial.
Wow. Well, you know, we've been following here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We follow some different political prisoners and situations going on in Canada. And actually, one of them I wanted to ask you about has to do with someone who's outside of Canada right now. And a person we've talked about on the show and the media's talked about. And that was a man who's treating cancer with medical marijuana, with a marijuana extract, Rick Simpson, who's currently in exile in Europe. Do you have any comments about Rick Simpson?
Yeah, Rick Simpson, I don't agree with him being in exile. I think if you're open and straightforward like he's been, you should come back and face the music. Like, I'm not opposed to being tried in Canada for the seed activities I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm proud of what I did, and I think it has a purpose, and there's a meaning that I would enjoy explaining to the jury or to a courtroom. And if I get sent to jail, then that's the way it goes. The reason I oppose my extradition is because that's a purely political persecution. It's not related to Canadian law. It's not related to Canadian justice. It's not related to the fact that I'm Canadian and did all my activities in Canada. Excuse me.
Right.
Rick Simpson, he's just buggered off, and he should come back to Canada. You know, they're not putting an old man like him in jail, so I don't know what he's worried about. He does not really stand the likelihood of going to jail for any length of time. And if he was really growing things out for medical reasons, he should make that claim to the court.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he should stop floating around Europe and he should come back to Canada. And if you're going to be a hero, running away is not the way to be it. If you're going to be a hero, you've got to face up to what you've done and defend it honestly and straightforwardly, like I would plan to do. And then, you know, you take what comes. And if you get martyred, that's worth it in the long run. Being free is only a relevant value, you know, if your message is fully out there. But I think Rick Simpson, he should come back to Canada and become even a bigger star, go to court, and defend himself. I doubt very much he'll go to jail. And I think that's unfortunately what it is. He's running away because he's afraid of jail. And if you're going to be a superstar in this industry, this business, this political activity, this, you know, this kind of thing, then you cannot be afraid. You cannot have fear. You can't be going away and running off and staying around in Europe and going from couch to couch and stuff like that. You have to come back here and explain what you did and explain the righteousness of it and then trust that the Canadian people will get you out over time, which is what I'm putting my faith in, and I think that's the way to go.
Right, and that's why I got a lot of respect for you, Mr. Mark Emery. And, you know, there's another thing I wanted to ask you about is what we're seeing going here locally, here around here in Toronto. Recently, there was a Compassion Club, Calm, that was raided.
And it's an excellent Compassion Club. It's been around 12 years. It's run by my friend Neve, an excellent fellow, who organizes the Toronto Freedom Festival, which I'll be at in a few days. And hopefully we'll have some great weather, and we can talk about Calm and get people to become more politically active. It looks like we're going to have an election here in 2 weeks, and this is a very important time to make sure people get out to vote against the Conservative government. They hate us. They hate the pot people. They're religious fundamentalists with a perverted view of how the Bible interprets cannabis. It's a wrong view. And there are a lot of people we can vote for, from the NDP to the Greens, and even the Liberals, And even the Bloc in Quebec, who would be a superior choice to the Conservatives as far as the cannabis culture goes. And as far as medical marijuana legislation goes, too. The NDP are more popular now than they've been in years, and I think that's an encouraging thing. We need to encourage people to vote for the NDP federally, and we need to encourage them to vote for the Green Party federally. My wife, Jody Emery, who will be at the Toronto Freedom Festival on Saturday, is a candidate for the Green Party in the federal election, and she's really pleased to be the policing critic for the BC Green Party, and she actually helps formulate a lot of the policy on cannabis here, and that's why we know the Green Party of Canada has a great cannabis policy. Almost all of their candidates favor full legalization and are willing to speak about it, which is really great. And the NDP, it has many members who are also in favor of legalization, like Libby Davies and Bill 6A and that sort of thing. So we've got support in Parliament. We have to get out and vote for them to make it worth their while. The Conservatives are praying that only the adults, you know, the old people in Canada show up to vote, because typically young people don't show up to vote, and that allows old people to vote for the people they want, and then that means we are subject to the dictates of rural conservative older Canadians instead of, you know, young, hip, modern, urban Canadians. Because urban Canadians, young people don't get out to vote as much. And that we have to change.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And, you know, with the, you know, this events going on, that's why, you know, we hopefully get some people out to the Freedom Fest, you know. And I every year I've been there, it's been, there's been thousands of people. So I'm sure there's going to be some people there this Saturday for the marijuana march, you know. But actually a few blocks away from the station is Yonge Dundas Square. And last week there was actually a protest there, a 420 hash mob. You know, and then there was some sort of incident that got in mainstream media because there was some sort of incident with a gun that happened there.
Yeah, well, some gang member took a gun, but he was quickly subdued by the potheads, who are far more alert than people might give us credit for, and they disarmed that fellow in no time at all. But unfortunately, the media likes sensational things, and so they focused on the fact that some guy brought a gun to an otherwise peaceful, huge rally of several thousand people. So, but you know what? We didn't see much about the gun part out in Western Canada. We mostly just saw the large crowds in Toronto, and that was awesome, and these spectacularly large crowds in Ottawa. Parliament Hill, I've never seen it so filled with people out to celebrate the cannabis culture. That was a massive, large group of people there. Nice. It was impressive to see.
No, well, yeah, and what's... Okay, so you just mentioned Parliament Hill, and I was just about to ask you about the situation in Ottawa, because you're even saying that you think there could be an election coming soon.
Very soon, very soon. And I think the Conservatives are so contemptuous of democracy, of Parliament, of the Canadian people, that, you know, I can't wait to have an election. And I think if Stephen Harper doesn't get his majority, which I'm not convinced he will, then I think the Conservatives will not form the government, because the others will have a coalition and form it. They're just not letting Stephen Harper have another chance. If they can actually get up the nerve to have a non-confidence motion and, you know, let's get this election on the road.
Right, for sure. And the, you know, the situation here in Canada, I was about to ask you about, or I want to ask you about your experiences recently in Vancouver with the, where you had the Winter Olympics, because there's a major event coming up here in Toronto. You know, the New World Order is coming to town for Toronto at the end of June for the G20 summit.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, you know, with your experience in Vancouver in the Winter Olympics, do you have any recommendations for people here in Toronto about what will happen to the city, I guess, when these major events?
Well, if I were going to protest the G20 or the G8, I would zero in on something specific. You know, outbursts of anger where you're coming with black flags and screaming for the cameras, even though that's a gratuitous fun thing, is really counterproductive. I'm hoping the people who protest the G20 will protest the worldwide prohibition that we have, because that's something young people can really relate to. All these governments that are attending the G20 have prohibition policies in effect that jail people in their country. And that's what I think our people should emphasize if they're going to go out and protest, is prohibition is in all these 20 countries. It soaks up billions of dollars in valuable funds. It's completely counterproductive. The more we enforce the drug war, the more crime and violence we have. And all these things are easy to explain to people and are factually based. So when we protest the G20 next month, I think we should focus in on the prohibition policies of those countries, because it's something young people can really relate to, something specific we can ask them to get rid of that will benefit everybody. That's a win-win thing, is to get rid of prohibition policies. Save money, increase civil liberties, increase the benefits to the people, you know, free the weed. All those things would be great things to point out to the G20.
For sure, for sure. And, I just got, we just got a question here sent in from a listener in Toronto. And it says, yo, Mark, do you have a favorite strain of Mary Jane?
I do. You never see it, though. It's called White Widow. But I have seen a pure White Widow maybe twice in the last 5 to 7 years. Very few people grow it because it doesn't yield very much, but it's incredibly beautiful strain. I've smoked it maybe on 4 occasions in the last 10 years, not very much. And if anybody's going to be there on Saturday with Pure White Widow, please track me down. I'll be there at our booth selling Free Mark t-shirts and hoodies. They'll be on sale there. We're bringing lots. I'll autograph them along with posters and t-shirts and things like that. And I'll be there for 6 or 7 hours, so I'll be there for a long time. So please come and smoke me up.
For sure. And the last time I saw you speak was actually in the summer at Vapor Central.
On the farewell tour. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. It was a packed Vapor Central, and a lot of knowledge from yourself, Mark Emery. And, you know, you're going to be speaking in the evening on Saturday at the Freedom Fest. What can the listeners expect? What can the people expect from Freedom Fest?
Well, first of all, it's a great communal pot party. There's going to be probably 10 to 20,000 people there, depending on the weather. And there should be a lot of people smoking pot. And there should be a lot of people hopefully introducing themselves to other activists so that they can be contacted. I hope people are going to be exchanging their Facebook, you know, addresses and their contact information so that people can get them out for political activities. I mean, Jody will be there promoting the Green Party of Canada as she's a candidate. So one of the things we hope to get people to do is join a political party. Get involved in politics. It's a dirty business. It's disgusting at times. It's cynical. But remember, the people in power want us to get jaded and cynical. They want us to give up on politics because then they have more control over us when we give up on the system. In fact, when you participate in the system, when you make sure you vote, when you run for office, when you get involved in a political campaign, when you donate money, it gives you more power and more control over the system because you become part of the system. Your voice begins to matter, even if it's just a little. And as time goes by, you develop more contacts, more connections, more influence, and more power. Most of these political parties have committees that you can sit on right away and start exercising your influence and start making your voice heard within a political party. And it can be any political party, the Conservatives, the Liberals, the Greens, the NDP. If you join a political party, you begin to have a bigger say in the system, and more so, you actually begin to understand how the system works. And then you begin to become more effective in politics and changing the world.
Right, yeah, I agree. I guess my only hesitation would be with getting into this, the more you get involved with the system, I guess the more automatons you might encounter.
Well, the danger is to be co-opted by the system. You become
right.
So much part of the establishment, you're not recognizable as a rebel or a dissenter anymore. But we have a long way to go before we find ourselves in that position where we're the status quo. That would be kind of nice, actually. But we're not the status quo. We're on the outside looking in. And the people who are on the inside are largely older people who have been in politics a long, long time, and they want to keep the control of the game they've got going. So we have to crash that party. We have to get involved. We have to put a suit on. We have to go to meetings, boring, terrible meetings that we all hate, but we have to go to them. And we have to participate in this kind of boring, old-person political behavior because we need to take our country back, and it has to be done one dirty political job at a time.
For real, and that's why I'm glad to have spoken with you today on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, Mr. Mark Emery, and we're looking forward to the Freedom Fest coming up on Saturday.
Yes, ironically, I had to get court permission to travel to the Freedom Festival because my bail conditions don't let me leave British Columbia without getting a whole bunch of things from the court. So I will be enjoying my freedom, brief as it is and tenuous as it is, in Toronto. Come and get a T-shirt, a Free Mark T-shirt from me. Look for myself or my wife, Jody Emery. We'll be there talking to everyone all day long, and hopefully we'll get to meet everybody who shows up.
Awesome. All right, we'll see you there, Mark.
Yep, bye now.
All right, thanks a lot. And the movement is going on. Free Mark Emery is the movement. And you just heard from the man himself, Mark Emery. You can check out TorontoFreedomFestival.com. You can also check out CannabisCulture.com. It's Free Mark Emery, and the movement goes strong. This is that some more of that track from the Ground Illuminosity, Free Mark Emery.
Tell me, can you see the light change in the sky? There he goes,
a hooded lion.